Bam, we're back at it, Chinch.
Whoa, looks like we're classing the place up a little bit today, Case. What's happening?
Dude, we're classing it up big time. Are you kidding me? The most special human being in my life, my mom, Joan Casey, is joining us this week for a Mother's Day special.
Yes.
She came in kicking and screaming, though, Chinch. I'm like, Mom, you got to come join me for the Mother's Day special. She's like, I'm not doing that. You know, she's got that New York accent like you. I'm like, yeah, you are. I'm kidnapping you in here. So welcome, Mom, to the show.
Well, thank you.
It's so great having you on here. Fellow Long Islander as well, right?
Yes, exactly.
Nice.
Yep. Yep. She's, where did you grow up, Mom?
Iceland.
Oh, nice. Not too far from me right now.
Yeah.
Well, every time I say my parents grew up, I'm like, oh, my parents are Long Islanders. Whenever I'm out at work or like people are following my line, they're like, oh, yeah. They're like, where are they from? I'm like, well, my mom's from Iceland. My dad's from Salem. They're like, ooh, that's out there. So, you know, is that really out there?
It is 60 miles out there.
Yeah. So did you guys go into the city growing up and stuff?
No.
No?
I've never been to the Statue of Liberty.
You haven't?
Really? Sorry to say.
Not even like on one of those little boat tours?
I went past it on a ship going to Europe. That's
oh my God, Mom, tell this story about the ship when you went to Europe. Seriously, she hasn't been on a ship since this story.
I refuse to go on a ship ever again.
Well, tell what happened. How old were you and why the hell were you going over there?
I was 23 years old and I went with three of my friends and we spent 3 months in Europe, which was fabulous. And the ship was the SS Hanseatic, German ship, and the Atlantic Ocean was like roaring. So, I mean, people were barfing all over the place. Some lady blew her lunch on me. Like, oh my God. Never again am I going to take a ship to Europe.
You know? Oh my God.
So that was my experience.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
Never been on a ship since.
I wouldn't go back either.
I refuse to even go to the Caribbean on a ship.
Oh my God!
That's it.
Wow. So wait, let me get in here a little bit. You got Shawnee here. I need to know. The fans need to know. Like, take us back to 8-year-old Shawnee. What was that kid like?
Oh God. Well, he was always into baseball. And I think, it all started when we were at the Jersey Shore when he was 3 years old and, my husband, Jim, bought him a wiffle bat and ball and put it in his hands and
my dad put me righty, but I kept switching lefty. And then he'd spin me righty again, and I kept switching lefty. He's like, oh, what the hell? Looks like he's a lefty. He's like, all right, Shawnee. You know, my dad, they all call me Shawnee. All right, Shawnee, switch your hands, and now you're a lefty, you know?
Wow. The rest is history.
And the rest is history. He had a bat in his hand forever. When he was in high school, he had the solo hitter, which...
Oh, solo hitter. In the garage.
Right.
That my husband bought for him. And he would be there at 11 o'clock at night blasting the radio. And we'd have to go down and yell at him, say, shut up and go to bed.
Did you know he was good? Did you know he was better than all the other kids?
Well, he really wasn't in high school.
Yeah, I really wasn't.
He was kind of an average kid in high school, you know.
Well, I was a little chunkier at the time. My mom used to say, Shawnee, you're big boned. My mom would never be like, hey, I think you got a little bit of a weight problem. She's like, Shawnee, you're just big boned. You're growing your body. And she was right. Eventually, I did grow into my body. Oh, my 16-year, when I was 14, I hadn't hit puberty, but I was 16. I was like a tall drink of water, bro. I was like 6'2", 175, like, wow. Like, dude, skinny is all get up. with zero strength. As a matter of fact, Mike Junko, who we're going to have on this show, you know, Junk and I were like best friends growing up. And as a matter of fact, our goal in life, my dad owned this company called Casey Chemical, started in my sophomore year in high school. Well, my mom and dad, my mom and dad's marriage was saved when they realized they couldn't work together. So my mom would do like the, my mom's a secretary, bro. Like I got so many ways to go with this right now. It's unbelievable. But my mom would do like, cause she could type faster than you could talk. Like I like in high school, I'm like, mom, I got a paper. She's like, all right, Shawnee, let's go up. She'd get on the freaking word processor and I'd be talking to her like, all right, mom. And blah, blah, you know, I'm dictating and she'd be like, not even looking like, and she would be like, and I'm like, I'm not done talking, mom. She's like, and she would be done typing. I'm like, this shit's unbelievable.
That's amazing.
So mom, you went to secretary school in Manhattan, right?
No, I went to the Catherine Gibbs.
My mom went there too.
In Boston.
Oh, she went to the one in New York. My mom went to Catherine Gibbs and did the same job.
No way, yes, dude.
Catherine Gibbs.
In Boston, I lived in a boarding house on the Fenway, would you believe?
Oh, no shit.
And we used to hear the games going.
Wow, that's cool.
And who'd have thought that my kid one day would be playing for the Boston Red Sox.
Crazy.
At Fenway.
Oh, my God, it's unbelievable.
Went to one game.
You went to one game?
Do you remember who
when you were there?
Oh, hell no. I just remember the pitcher. His name was Bill Monmouquette. He was a young up-and-comer.
Bill Monmouquette. Wow. That's unbelievable. You remember that.
I don't know why.
So, Casey's bat bag, Sean's bat bag, and like, did he forget his socks ever? Were there things where, was there trouble like that with Case trying to get to the ballpark every day?
Always. Always. He's, you know, his mind was elsewhere. Yeah. He had 15 different things going through his head at the time. That's great.
My mom would say, Shawnee, gotta use your head to save your feet. You're walking too much. You don't think first. You gotta use your head to save your feet. I'd always become I still do that, bro. I'll go outside of the car. I'm like, oh shit, I left the keys upstairs. I gotta run up and get the keys. And my mom's on my shoulder going, use your head to save your feet. You know, still to this day. So,
yeah, I'm the same way. My dad got me some chip to put in my wallet because I used to lose my wallet all the time.
Yeah.
And then I lost the chip like a day after he got it for me.
Wow, dude. Wow.
So we
dude, I want to go back a little bit with my mom just for a second because with it being Mother's Day, like my parents, my mom's parents, both she was one of eight, right? Kids out nice. So we used to go every Christmas to all our cousins. We had like freaking cousins everywhere, dude. It was unbelievable. Like
25
cousins. My mom's the second oldest of eight. And we used to go to Islip, New York every year for reunion, big tub of Budweiser, just like the McHugh household, just, you know, having a great time. It was a great week. We'd go for like a week at week. We'd go for a week. We'd go see my dad's family and my mom's family. So, it was great, but I want to go back to your mom a little bit, mom, because you know, she was such a big part of your life. My mom's dad passed away when she was 11. So, you know, it was
he was 41.
Yeah.
And my mother was left with eight kids at 41.
Wow.
And she was a very smart lady. In order to support us, she bought a liquor store in our town. In New York State, liquor stores are private. So she was able to buy a liquor store, and that's how, that's how we survived.
Wow.
All went to college, master's degrees, you know, and it's all a tribute to her. Unfortunately, she died at 57, which was too bad too, you know, but, you know, she left a great legacy.
But tell your story when your mom was dying, mom, you were out in Colorado with your friends, right?
Yeah, I was living in Colorado. So I came home to take care of her. And it was probably the worst and the best thing I ever did in my life. You know, I'll never.
I can relate to that.
Take that away from me. You
know? Yeah.
Spent a lot of quality time with her. It was wonderful.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's funny looking back on your mom. You know, didn't you say initially when your dad had died that, you know, they didn't know whether she'd be able to keep all the kids together. So they were talking about some of the kids maybe having to go to foster care.
Yeah.
And she was like, bullshit, we're going to buy a liquor store, we're going to lock it down, we're going
to
make it work.
It was meant to be. This liquor store came for sale in our hometown. You could walk to it.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's great.
Wow.
Yeah.
And somebody asked her one time if she'd ever remarry, and she said, Well, who the hell married me with my 8 kids and my milk bill?
That's crazy. So when'd you meet Mr. Casey? How'd that happen? Let's hear the love story here.
Well, he was a friend of my brother's. And when they would have any kind of a gathering of people, he was always there, Jim, you know, and he and I spent a lot of time talking to each other, and he was a priest at the time.
Yeah.
And
isn't that crazy?
I used to say to myself, oh, what a waste.
Waste of a good man, she said. Holy cow.
Wow.
Well, my dad was a Catholic priest for a few years.
5 years.
For 5 years. And he used to come over. So my mom's brother, Brian, right? Yeah. My dad was friends with Brian, those guys. And, you know, after Mass, he'd come over. You have four brothers. Three brothers. My Uncle Mike, my Uncle Gene, and my Uncle Brian. And my dad used to come over after, like, on Sundays and hang out with the whole family.
Yeah.
So then when he left the priesthood, then tell that story. He's leaving the priesthood.
Well, I was living in Manhattan at the time. He calls me, because I used to say to him, you know, he and his other priest friends would come into Manhattan and go to all the foreign films. And I said, well, why don't you come for dinner sometime? You know, I'd lived with two other girls, and, oh, I can't do that. So anyway, he calls and wanted to know if I wanted to go to the Fillmore East with him. He had two tickets to see The Who.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So
isn't that cool?
I said, are you kidding me? You're telling me you want to go to the Fillmore East with me? Yeah. I said, okay, I'll go.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
Well, it was at that time that he, you know, had gave all his, gave his papers to the diocese, and, you know, he was done
being a priest. Yeah. And then, yes, but he had known my mom for years with your other sisters and stuff.
I was a good friend of his sisters.
And so what's crazy is my mom, this is nuts. My mom was best friends with my dad's sister in high school, my Aunt Mary. And my mom and dad really didn't know each other in high school, right? My dad used to be the janitor after school, like, to pay for his high school. So my mom would be going to, like, field hockey practice.
We went through the cafeteria one time, and he's there swabbing the deck. And I haven't mentioned to my friends, oh, he's cute.
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That's awesome.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Holy cow. So then they've been married. What have you been married? 50?
We're going to be married 52 years in October.
52 years.
Oh, my God.
It was meant to be.
Wow. Wait, so can I fast forward? Because we're on a point where your dad used to be a priest, Sean, but you told me a story. We can jump backwards.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm thinking of a priest doing the story you told me about when they couldn't get into a baseball game one time that you were playing in.
Oh, my God. Well, I was telling Chintz the story about when the Reds were playing the Pirates, and it was a day game, and you and Dad couldn't. It's like 2004, I think. You and Dad couldn't come to the game because you had something going on at 1 o'clock, and it was, you know, we were heading out of town, and, you know, Dad was obviously bummed or whatever, and you know, it rained here in Pittsburgh, so the game was going to be starting at 4:00. So I called you guys, and I'm like, hey, listen, the game's going to be starting at 4:00, and you guys can make it. So they, you know, they rushed to the stadium. Boom, they come in. Well, gate A, where you come to get the tickets, was already locked. So my dad goes to gate A, and there's a security guard there, and he's like, listen, sir, he's like, it's 3 hours past, you know, what the game time was. You got to go to gate C to give your tickets to get in. And my dad, being the impatient New Yorker that he's like, no, my son's, you know, my son's playing first base for the Reds. We got to get into the game now. Just let me in. It's no big deal. And the guy's like 26-year-old security guard. He's like, sir, you got to go to gate C. And my mom's like, Jim, let's just go to gate C. What the hell are we doing here? Arguing with the security guard. He's just doing his job. Next thing you know, bro, bam, straight. My dad swim moves the security guard. Bam. Next thing you know, he's on his way through the freaking up the elevator, the escalator, Now he's that guy's on the mic like, we got a runner in gate A. We got breach of security. He's freaking bolting up and he goes like Richard Kimball on him, you know, from The Fugitive. Freaking guy's like going to the, you know, he's hiding within the crowd. He's at the bratwurst stand. He's at the freaking beer stand. He's hiding in the crowd. They can't find him. But then from Joan Casey's point of view, which is the unbelievable part, what were you thinking, Mom, when Dad jumped security at PNC Park?
I thought he was an idiot. Yeah, you know, he just does what he wants to do.
Oh my goodness.
But so you're just standing there by
so
yourself.
I'm so embarrassed, you know. You know, what am I going to do, you know? So I went.
But you had no tip. My mom's sitting there with no ticket at the gate, like, what the hell do I do here? So you went through the door,
I
right?
I went to gate C, like I was supposed to.
It's amazing.
But then he's looking. So the other part of the story is my dad outruns the security guards, which is a phenomenal story. Like, he's like, and Dad at the time was like 60, I'm gonna say he's probably 68. He's 82 now, probably 67. But my dad's a killer. He's like lift weights, runner, you know what I mean? Like, so he outdoes all these young security guards. He gets to his seat, and that day I had just put my parents next to the dugout. So I talked to the Travis and said, hey, Gary, make sure my parents can take care of. Now it's a 4 o'clock. So I remember after the first inning, I see my dad right next to the dugout. And as I'm coming off the field, I'm going to throw him a ball. I don't know why I'm throwing my dad a ball. He probably has a million of them. But I can see cops coming down the aisle. And I remember thinking, why are these cops coming down the aisle? It looks like they're going towards my dad. So I end up throwing my dad a ball. I'm like, he's like, hey, Shawnee. I'm like, hey, what's up, Dad? You know, I have no idea. He's just breaching. So I'm waving at him. And then you could tell the cops back off because I'm like, hey, Dad, good to see you. Oh, yeah. And then all of a sudden, the next inning, I see my mom shows up and she's talking through her mouth like, I'm going to kill you. I can't believe you left me there by myself.
Yeah, it must have been a fun game for you two.
Unbelievable.
What else, Case? You got a whole family worth of stories. We got to hear.
Dude, my sister's been sending me some fun stuff.
Okay.
What did Beth say? Beth said, let me see. Beth said, do you remember? She said,
well, wait, hey, before we get there, how many brothers and sisters do you have, Sean?
So I got one sister, my sister Beth. She's the greatest, 2 years older than me. She's, I mean, just such a great person. The greatest laugh probably in the country. Like, you're around Beth Gold now, but you're around my sister Beth and she laughs. I don't care who you are. You're guaranteed to laugh. I mean, there's no doubt about it. So there's a great story, bro. I don't know if we've ever told it on this show before. I think we have, but we used to have this car. It was that Lincoln. It was like not the Lincoln Mercury, because that would have been too big time for the Caseys at the time. It was the Mercury Lincoln. It was like this. It was literally like a Humvee. Like, you would drive those things in Afghanistan right now. Like, if the army's like, we gotta get ourselves some of those Mercury Lincolns because these things, and put some guns on top, and we'd freaking dominate anyone. Right? It was like a tank. Right? And so we had this other car, which is, it's in that picture over there. You can't really see it, but it's me at the beach, the Jersey Shore. And there's this yellow, like, remember the car's Horizon?
Plymouth Horizon.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yes, I do remember.
So it was like
a Volkswagen.
Yeah, it was like a Volkswagen. So it was all the Caseys could afford at the time. Cause my mom was like, we're only reason we're in Upper St. Clair is cause it's a school district. We can't really afford to be here. Right, Mom?
Right.
Yeah. So one day my dad's taking my sister to soccer practice and me to baseball practice, and my dad's going 100 miles an hour. Now this is Jim Casey at like 40, 38 Jim Casey, 42 year old Jim Casey. We get in the Lincoln Mercury, the Mercury Lincoln, not the Lincoln Mercury. Lincoln Mercuries are for big time people. Mercury Lincolns are people that are in the towns for the school district. Okay. So up goes the garage. The Horizon is in the driveway. My dad freaking get in, kids. It's a V8 engine, Chinch. V8 monster. Engine, bro. You know that thing. Monster.
Yeah.
Boom. He hits that thing in the reverse. Hits the gas like freaking Dukes of Hazzard. Boom. Bro. He hits this Horizon going Mach in our driveway. Boom. It hits the Horizon. It goes flying. I swear to God, I'm not kidding. It launches, propels 20 feet in the air. This car is flying across the street. It flies across the street into our neighbor's yard. All four tires. It sounds like it, there's an attack coming from all sides. All four tires are like, boom, 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 boom. They blow up, right? Friggin' thing is sideways in my neighbor's yard. Like in Pittsburgh, it's hilly. So it's on a hill in the neighbor's yard. I mean, dude, this thing was launched 40 feet in the air.
That's
the Mercury Lincoln doesn't have a scratch on it. It looks like it's brand new. The horizon is total, bro. Hood like this, smoking, all four tires broke. It's like crumbled, right? Well, out comes, remember the neighbors, the Klops? Yeah. They were German, like legit, didn't speak English. They come out, they're like, sprechen Sie Deutsch. I don't even know what they're saying, but they're like, you know, they're swearing in German. The car's in the thing. Here come the neighbors because it was so loud, right? It sounded like an accident. And what? So my dad's only concerned that we're going to be late for practice, right? So I'm like, Dad, you got to go in and tell Mom that you just totaled the horizon of the thing. He's like, all right. So he goes into my mom. And do you remember what he says to you?
Yeah, he said, we had a slight accident in the driveway. And I said, you got to be kidding me. I go out there and there's his car, you know, all the way in somebody else's yard. And I said, the hell is going on here, you know?
And then my mom's like, slight accident. The car's totaled. And my dad, I just remember my dad going, yep, we're late for practice. He bolts back into the Mercury and drives off. And I remember looking in the rearview mirror and my mom going like, what the hell, where are you going? And he's like, bowling down the street. Boom, off we go to practice, right? So anyway, bro, we didn't have the money to really fix this car. I think you guys got...
Well, you could still drive it. I mean, the whole side was sideswiped, and you could still drive it. But
yeah, if it works. If it works back then, if you didn't have the money, you're not fixing the sidewall if it drives back then. No. Yeah.
So we never fixed it, but... He had to go up to the high school for some reason.
No. I was going to one of the most popular girls in school had a birthday party, and it was like the town rec center. So you had to like drive up to it. You know what I mean? Like, and Junko's in the car, and he's just a terrible friend at the time. You know, he's like, and I'm like, Mom, drop me off. Drop me off up the street about a mile away, and then me and Michael walk. And she's like, what'd you say?
I said, hey, these are wheels. Transportation, and I don't care whether you're embarrassed or not. I'm going right to the door.
I love it.
So,
and then when he called for me to pick him up, he said, "Pick me up at the library,"
which is up the street. I'm like, I'll meet you at the library. I'm like, we're pulling up in this horizon that's totaled. I mean, it's totaled. We look like Daniel LaRusso's mom in Karate Kid. Like, nice car, Ms. LaRusso. Like, people like, in this town, Chinch, here comes the Mercedes. Here comes the Porsche. Here comes the BMW. Here comes Mrs. Casey in the freaking wrecked horizon that they didn't have enough money. They're like, nice car, Mrs. Casey. I'm ducking out the back like, oh, my God. My mom's like, this car gets us from A to B. If you don't like it, you can walk. I'm like, I want to walk, Mom. I want to walk. Just drop me off close enough where I don't have to walk 10 miles.
Wait, were you wearing your fake polo shirt? Got to bring that up again.
Oh, yeah. Tell them about when you used to buy my shirts at like the Round Again, which is good. My mom, listen, we didn't have a ton of money, but my mom.
I thought it was a polo.
It looks like them. I know the exact shirts.
Nice of the Round Table.
Yeah.
The logo, you know.
Right.
He wears it to school one day. His friends are all over him, you know.
Like, Case, that's not a polo. I was like, yeah, it is. My mom said it was. She bought it at TJ Maxx. They're like, that's a nice of the Round Table, you asshole. I'm like, oh, boy.
That's great.
I went home after school. I'm like, Mom, you got to be sure if it's a polo or not. I just look like a total jackass at lunch. So that was one. What another? Beth also sent, do you remember when Beth and I, you know, it'd be like Friday night, you and Dad are going out for a date. It was like probably Saturday. Whenever Dukes of Hazzard was on, my parents would go out that night. Mm-hmm. Do you remember what you used to get, Beth and I? You used to go out and you would buy for us?
Coke and potato chips or something?
Yeah, Coke and Doritos, bro. Like when the soda, Cool Ranch came out, they get us a 2-liter Coke and Doritos. We had no junk food in the house, Casey household. But boom, we'd get Coke and Doritos, which was great. We enjoyed it. And we would watch Dukes of Hazzard. and torture the babysitters pretty much. Mom, Beth says this. She said, how about when you and I were home old enough to babysit ourselves and we put up all those team banners and posters with roofing nails on the wall over my bed? Do you remember that?
No.
And she said, he said, we basically destroyed the wall, but you didn't get mad. You're like, ah, that's okay. So thanks for not getting mad. Although my mom would yell all the time, like total New Yorker. She'd be like, you kids. She used to say this shit. You kids will be the death of me yet. And then I would start crying like, I don't want you to die. She's like, take it easy. It's just a saying. Get a hold of yourself.
You know? What was she like at games? Were you outspoken at the Sean Casey when it came to the bat and stuff?
I was very quiet at the games. Mm-hmm. And when he was in the minor leagues, when he was on first base, I used to wave to him, and he'd wave back. So when he made it to the major leagues, I'm in the stands and I'm waving at him. You know,
he's facing Randy Johnson right now.
You can't wave to me. I'm in the major leagues now.
You probably said, I'm your mother. I can wave to you whenever the hell I want. I put you in this game. I'll take you out.
No, I did the underhand wave. I go like this. Like, I can't wave to you like this. We've got 60,000 in the crowd. I was like, I'll underhand wave like this. So she's like, all right. But what's great, my mom, if it was like the seventh inning tie game, 3-3, big situation, I'm on first base, I could always look up at my mom and she'd be waving at me. And it was unbelievable. And Joe and Casey had the white hair, so all the Reds, we would all be like, all right. He's like, where's Waldo? Like, where's Joe and Casey? And I remember Danny Graves would be like, Case, I found your mom. She's right there. Like, Dimitri Young would be like, Case, there's your mom. Like, we would play a game every day. They're like, hey, I say, hey, guys, Joe and Casey's going to be in town. Like, all right. And before the game would start, one of my teammates, Barry Larkin, Booney, they'd be like, bro, found Joe Casey. She's right there. In the midst of 60,000, we could pick her out. We could pick her out like that.
That's amazing.
So great.
Who was your favorite players that Sean played with in the bigs? Did you have any that you kind of liked more than others?
Wow. That's a good question. I liked Adam Dunn. Mm. He seemed to be
the best.
Down-to-earth kind of guy. Booney was a nice guy. Always said hello to me. And what's his name, the pitcher?
Harsh?
No.
Reitsma. No. No.
Danny.
Danny Graves. Danny. Yeah, good guy.
Gravy was the best.
Yeah. I mean, every one of them said hello to me, which was great.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
What'd you think about the one time I told you the story when I got my dad a pass one year? Talk about breaching contracts. I got my dad like a batting practice pass, which you would get, you know, for your family, because you think that they would obviously just really appreciate it and respect it. So one day I'm stretching, get ready for a spring training game, and Danny Graves goes, like, I'm down, you know, get like 15 minutes for the game, and Danny Graves is like, hey, Case, is that your dad? I'm like, where? He's like, running a pole on the field with John Kanka, you know, who was my father-in-law at the time. And I look up, I'm like, yeah. Why is my dad and John Kanka sprinting from pole to pole on the? So, what'd you think of that story when I told you?
Well, I was typical of your father. He used to break every rule in the book. Along with John Kanka, the two of them.
Oh,
yeah, that's amazing.
I'm like dad. After he got back, I'm like, dad. After the game, I said, dad, you can't run on the field. Like, this pass means that, like, it'd be like me being at a Pearl Jam concert and Vedder leaves me a pass and I'm up there singing Better Man with him. Like, you can't do that. I'm like, dad, you can't run on the field right before the game starts. Until my dad goes, oh, you need to lighten up. I'm like, bye.
What are you going to do? That's like, Sean has the greatest stories about family. Like, one of your sons, didn't he poop all over your the training room?
Oh, that was a whole nother story, yeah. That was a whole nother story. When Jake pooped, remember when Jake pooped in the Reds locker room? He was like 2 years old.
You had to change him.
Yeah, I had to change. He pooped. He was riding the exercise bike, pooped. And the strength coach, Matt Krause, comes over to me. I'm like icing my shoulder, full uni. He's like, Case, he's like, we got to problem in the weight room. He's like, I think your son dropped a bomb. He stepped in it and then walked all around, running around the weight room. I'm like, oh my God. So here I am making $8.5 million on my knees, just spray, scrub. I was there for like 45 minutes, like freaking. I remember, their mom at the time was like, why took you so long? Why were you in the locker? So I was like, Jake pooped, stepped in it, and then was running around the freaking, running around the weight room like everything was cool.
That's so good.
So
I was a little nervous coming here, but I was a wreck when Sean played for the Cincinnati Reds, and they had a Mother's ESPN had a Mother's Day thing. So ESPN, they came to my house with all their,
the cameras and everything.
So they set up in the family room. The engineer that came with this interviewer, he puts all this equipment on the kitchen table, and so the camera's going to be going into the living room. So we,
dressed it up.
And I'm thinking, oh my god, the lights! They had these huge lights that were in the living room, and it was incredible. And this woman who interviewed me, she put me so much at ease, I couldn't believe it. Huh. But as we're starting to record this thing, my husband walks in the door after he I don't know whether he was working out or he was running. He comes in the house. He comes in the kitchen where this engineer is, completely oblivious of the huge lights and these people and the big truck in the driveway, and proceeds to make himself a shake with Vitamix. This poor engineer, the minute he turned it on, this poor guy, his headset goes flying. And he's effing this and effing that all over the place. He said, Jesus Christ, Jim, get out of here.
My dad had the Vitamix blender on high, turned that rib right in the middle of the interview with my mom.
But after this girl who was interviewing, she was rolling on the floor. And they drove to Cincinnati after this. And she...
I think it was Sam Ryan. Almost positive it was Sam Ryan, who I ended up working with at the network.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, they get to Cincinnati, and she says to him, you would never believe what happened with your dad.
I was like, I believe it. I believe it. Let me think. I got a couple other things I wrote down, Mom, so bear with me for a second.
I got one in the meantime real quick.
Go ahead.
Where were you, Mrs. Case, when you found out that Sean was getting called up to the big leagues?
I was not. Remember, I called you. I was in Iowa. I called you guys from that payphone. We just won the AAA championship.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, we were home, and he was going to the White Sox, right?
In
Chicago.
Yeah.
Fortunately, we were able to get a flight.
Oh, wow.
And we got there before the game, which was fabulous. All his Richmond buddies were there, of course, these idiots that, like, how many of them there were?
There's six of them, I think.
Six of them with these stupid wigs on and they painted faces, and I don't know how the hell they got there.
Probably had too many Bud Lights before the game, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. They were there too, so.
Wow.
It was so great that we were able to get there, you know?
Do you remember, I know, I don't think I've ever asked you this, do you remember, like, my first at bat? Like, yeah. What were you thinking?
Well, I was feeling nervous. I felt nervous for you. Yeah. But, he did okay, you know?
I got a knock. I did more than okay, Mike. I got a big league hit my first at bat.
Career 300 hitter, Mrs. Case. He did more than okay.
Got a hit.
There you go.
And his friends are going nuts in the up in the bleacher seats, you know, people looking at them like, what the hell are they?
I had to tell the traveling secretary the next day, I go, hey, listen, put my parents back in the family section. Can you put my college buddies down the left field line? Make sure the guy, especially John Cunningham, the guy with the freaking, with the green wig on. great. Oh my God. So great. So great. So,
there's plenty.
Yeah.
I got other stuff too.
What else you got, Chinch?
What? This is a downer, but I'll go to hires. What about when he got hit in the face? Do you remember that?
Oh God, that was terrible. It was, we had gone, to opening day when he was first with the Reds, and opening day was great. And then we had to go home because we had a business to run. Mm. So and his friend Mike was with us. So we're driving home the next day, and on the radio we hear how he was hit in the eye, and he was was off the field in a stretcher, and ambulance taking him to the hospital. Like, we didn't know what to do. You know, at that point we were pretty much home. So we went all the way home and talked to the general manager, called us to tell us that, you know, he was in the hospital. So we went the very next day, we went back, and he was, poor guy, was a mess. You know, his eye was like, you know, it was terrible. Wow. So I stayed after he had the surgery, and it was pretty scary. I felt bad because, you know, it could have been a career-threatening injury that he had. It was awful.
Right, and that was right towards the beginning of your career, right?
Yeah.
Wow. But
he came through it.
Yeah.
With flying colors, you know, and.
There you go.
It's funny when I look back, like, you know, even the other night, my daughter, this might get me choked up a little bit. My daughter Jillian had a headache, and I used to have migraines when I was younger. And I remember sitting with her the other night on the side of the bed until she fell asleep, and rubbing her head and put a cold washcloth on her head and just making sure she was okay. Because I remember, like, growing up, I had migraine headaches from when I was like 4 till I was 19, and they were pretty debilitating, you know, to say the least. Mm-hmm. But I remember my mom would sit on the side of my bed, rub my head until I fell asleep. And I remember, like, that was the only thing that really comforted me. So it's funny, you know, when I look back, like, even as, you know, you're in the big leagues, you know, but you're still a kid. I mean, you're still there, you know. Our moms are always our moms, you know. And I remember 23, when I was 19, I had foot surgery in Richmond. My mom comes down, spends like a week or two with us, cleans the apartment when, you know, cutting.
I tried to clean the apartment. I gave up on cleaning the apartment.
Keep going. I'm sorry. Sean.
No, I was saying, you know, it was like, you know, that, you know, but you know, she was there for my surgery, and that, you know, and all my migraine headaches growing up, you know, being that, you know, that rock for you as a son, you know, anything that went wrong, but, you know, that surgery in college, you know, I had surgery, I was having surgeries all the time, but then when I got hit in the eye at 23, I mean, that was you know, we had no cell phones back then, so I couldn't really talk to them. I ended up talking, they turned around and came back, you know, but my mom and dad stayed for probably a couple weeks, you know, and, you know, just frustrating. I remember when I came back from that injury, I've never mentioned this ever. I remember I came back from that injury. I went 3-for-4 my first night in against Javier Vasquez in Montreal. I'm like, oh man, I'm back. And from that point on, I went 0-for-35. Really, just my vision wasn't back. I really struggled. And they were and I remember I was in the midst of that 0-for-35. And they ended up sending me down at the end of that. But probably at that time, I was 0-for-20 something. After a game in Cincinnati, I remember I was in a, we were in a parking garage for whatever you were. Yeah. That was your car after the game.
Yeah.
And I just broke down at 23. I start bawling, and I'm like, you know, like a son could only do with his mom. And I was like, I don't think I want to do this. Like, I don't think I want the stress. I don't think I'm just overwhelmed. Like I'm a rookie. I suck. You know, I'm about to get sent down. You know, and it was my mom at the time was the only person I could really talk like this with. And she, you know, was always so supportive, like, you know, you're going to be okay. I understand this must be so hard, you know, like, you know, not really, you know, really just somebody I could always lean on. And I'm just so grateful for that. And that conversation for me was like, I'm serious, bro. Like, I didn't, even though you're in the big leagues and you're just, you know, I'm just coming back from this major eye injury. I just had a 4-hour surgery. I can't hit water if I fell out of a boat. It's so hard at the time. And, like, you know, just leaning on my mom in that car, I really, you know, will always appreciate
it. The fans are telling him, you can't even hit your weight.
Mm.
When I was in New York and Shea, they're like, "You suck, Casey. Yeah. You can't even hit your weight. You're hitting a buck 40." I'm like,
"Oh, you got all of Long Island family there, probably listening to that, those games in Queens."
Well, my brother Gene, who was a Wall Street guy, he get all the Wall Street people to give up their tickets when he'd come into town, and great seats that we had from all these firms. And I think the first time we went. He's on third base, and we're on the third baseline, and they start these fans, when Casey, you're too slow, you can't hit, and they're going on, and then they say, "And your mother's ugly." And my brother Jim says, "Do not say one word."
Meaning that you were going to jump into the guy. Forget about anybody.
My mom was about to go New York on it. You know what I mean? Like New York on the New Yorkers, you know?
That is great.
Well, but chicks, just to finish my point, you know, all those years, man, like my mom just being able to call home with her, you know, and I think I get the gift of gab. You know, I'm a blend of both my parents. My dad's intensity, my mom's gift of gab to talk to anybody, to make anybody feel welcome and comfortable and loved, you know. So whenever I would call my mom almost every day after every game, knowing that I was going to have a good conversation with my mom. We wouldn't even talk baseball, you know. I think it was just, we would just talk about whatever. My mom could, like I said, because she whip up a conversation, and we would talk about whatever for an hour and laugh, and it was great. Do you remember that one time I was coming home? It's unbelievable. I was coming home. I used to get leg cramps real bad, dude. It was unbelievable. Until I started taking this green drink, that's a whole other story that helped me like with cramps, get the nutrients. But I was coming back from a day game one time. It was like a Thursday afternoon game. So I'm stuck in 5 o'clock traffic in Cincy, and I'm talking to my mom. And do you remember when I got those leg cramps? I'm like, "Holy shit, mom, hang on a second." I get one of the worst leg cramps, bro. So now I'm in standstill traffic, just walking along. And so I'm like, okay, I'm like, we're putting along. And at this time I'm pretty popular in Cincinnati. Right. So I'm like, "Oh my God, mom, leg cramps." She's like, "Well, what are you going to do?" I'm like, "Oh," and my mom's like, I'm like, "Well, I still got another leg, so I'm good." You know what I mean? So I get a double leg cramp, bro. And standing, and now I'm in my car and I'm like, "Oh my God, I got it." She's like, "What are you gonna do?" I'm like, "I'll pull over." Yeah. So I pull over on the side of the road. I'm literally double leg cramped on the side of, I think, 71, and I'm stretching. And my mom's in the car like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Hang on, mom, I'm just stretching." Dude, fans are driving by like I'm a zoo animal going, "Hey, what's up, Casey?" They're like, good game. And I'm like, "Double leg cramp, people. Double leg cramp." I'm on the side of the highway stretching out my leg cramp while my mom's talking me off the ledge like, "Shorty, you're going to be okay. Keep stretching. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
So,
but see, Ms. Case, on the flip side, what Sean was just saying, forget about all the All-Star games and all the home runs, anything like that. Your son has won every award for being like the nicest player that's ever played baseball. I think they've invented awards to give him because of his upbringing and the way he is. I know for me personally, he's one of the greatest lights in my life and friendship. How proud are you of, I mean, your son's nickname is the mayor.
isn't that great? Yeah. Well, I have to say that I'm very proud of him. People, they always say, "Well, it's because of you and your husband that he's that great a kid." No, it's him. You know, he's done a great job with his life. He's a wonderful father, which is fabulous. You know, and there's just no words that I can say that make me prouder than this. Here,
I appreciate it, Mom.
Even
Thanks.
Though I still call him Shawnee.
Don't ever
he's
stop.
He's going to be 48 years old. He's still my baby.
That's so. Oh my God, you say my baby. My mom was like that. And we were talking before. There's a bond with moms and sons playing baseball that's different than a dad and son. But I'll never. I told Sean this earlier. My mom, when I was in high school and even in college and forward, for some reason, when I was up, she would just get nervous and just go, whack it, Richie, whack it, whack it hard. And I would get up, and I'd be at the plane, and I'd be like, oh. And then my friend's there and everything, and I get in the car with her after. I'm like, Mom, can't you find a different little phrase? And she's like, you're my baby. I've been saying that since you were 10, and you've been getting hits since you were 10, so I'm going to say it until the day you die. And I was like, all right. That's-
Keep whacking it, Rich. Keep whacking it. I'm sure your buddies were crushing you. Like,
always.
Let's go, Rich. Whack it.
Oh, they would say it up to me all night when we were going out after. Hey, what are you doing tonight, Rich? You whack.
Oh, my God.
I was always very quiet. I never said anything.
Well, she's got the New York accent, too. So the Shawnee.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go, Shawnee. So all her friends that were Pittsburghers, like, then all of a sudden they'd start mocking her. Like, as soon as she'd say, let's go, Shawnee, all her friends, but then all of a sudden I'd hear out of the crowd, let's go, Shawnee. Let's go, Shawnee. Let's go, Shawnee. So it's kind of funny, you know. It was kind of funny. But, you know, I think what's great, Chinch, is that, you know, I get a chance. I'm so fortunate. I get a chance to, you know, just like I said, be here with my mom. I'm so grateful for that, you know, for this Mother's Day special. And I think for all the moms out there, you know what I mean? For all the guys and the daughters and the sons of wonderful mothers out there, you know, there's something about a mom that's just so different than everybody. And, you know, I know for you, Mom, for you, Chinch, your mom was a huge light in your life. And I know, you know, that she passed a few years ago. And I know that was tough. So such a tough thing for you. And I'm, you know, I know for me, I'm grateful for all the days that I have you, Mom. And I just love you so much. And just so grateful for, you know, just how much you've loved me and all the years and how much you love Beth. And, you know, just such a wonderful freaking person, and you're like the best friend. I see how you treat your friends. I see how they treat you, and you know, not a day goes by that I'm just so grateful for you. And I love to laugh with you and tell these stories, and you know, it's fun. You know, she's the greatest person. I still every day talk to her, but just I thought we would, you know, just share that today with our fans, like, you know, for all the moms out there that. All the things that you do that my mom's done and Rich's mom's done for us, you know, we're very grateful. And, you know, this is a real tribute to all the moms out there. And we hope that you guys have an awesome, awesome Mother's Day. And, you know, we were grateful for all the love that you guys spread to all the people out there, you know, in this world. So glad we did this, Chinch. And I told my mom, I was like, at least I got you on video.
Yeah.
We could tell some funny stories. Oh,
it's been an honor to be on
with
you.
We can look back.
Honor to be on with you. Have a great weekend.
I'm so glad I had a chance to meet you.
I know. In this two dimensions. We got to do it in a three-dimensional form next time, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But one of these days, I'll get to see you in person.
100%. Yeah. I can't wait for it.
Yeah. We'll make it happen, Chinch. Mm-hmm. We'll go eat somewhere good in New York, because my mom, you still could go up to see your family and stuff like that. She still makes her way up there. So
there we go.
Grateful for that. And I tell you what, I want to just say for the I like to look at generational gratitude. Like, you never stand, none of us are just here because of us. Like, we're here because we've stood on the backs of our families generationally. Like, I think about all the people back in even Ireland that have come over here, the Gilmartins and the McHughes and the Casey's. And I like to think that way. And I like to think back to, you know, my mom's mom, you know, and just how awesome she was and all the stories that she's told me. And I'm very grateful, although I didn't know her. I'm very grateful for the love that she gave your family and the love that she gave you and your dad, you know, that you could be the person you are today, that you could raise, you know, me and Beth. And, you know, I think that's stuff that maybe at times we think we're just in this alone. We just did this alone. You never do anything in life alone. It's the gratitude has got to be extended back to the people that you stood on, all the moms that drove us to practice, all the moms that when you're over 35 or if you're struggling whatever in school, your girlfriend breaks up with you, you have the conversations with your mom. There's nothing like that. And for generations to go back to the moms that have you know, led the way. And like I said, your mom with the liquor store and keeping your eight brothers and sisters together and doing what she needed to do this so that you guys could be the people that you are and the wonderful family, the McHugh family. And, you know, just so grateful for that stuff. I could go on all day, but just very, very grateful for all the mothers out there. And this Mother's Day, we at the mayor's office here, we salute you and we give you thanks.
Perfectly said, buddy.
Yeah. All right, man. All right, Mom. I love you. Give me a hug. I love you.
I love you, too.
I love you so much. And, you know,
you get serious,
my mom was nervous. What do you mean?
Nervous.
Once Joan Casey gets rolling, things start happening.
Joan Casey was on fire today. She was everything I would hope her to be and more.
Yeah.
And I love every once in a while she's about to smack you in the back of the head still. I can see it. I saw it.
Well, she used to bring the broom to me and my sister. She chased me around the house with a broom. Until one day, you know, she would get so frustrated, my sister and I. One day, I was like probably 15 years old, and she's yelling at me. I'm like, Mom, why are you yelling at me? I'm 15 years old. She's like, yeah, you're right. Why am I, right?
Yeah, we started laughing.
Yeah. Why do you have me and Beth cornered in the kitchen with a broom? Like, what the hell? I was like, in 2022, I'm calling social services. You're getting taken away.
That's amazing.
You know?
So great. Well, so great. All right. Have a great weekend, everybody. Mom's
all right, Chishy. Yes. Love you, brother. And for everyone out there, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. Subscribe, download to us, do all the things so we can keep doing our thing. And, and thanks, Mom, for
this was fun.
Yeah,
enjoyed it.
This is great. All right, love you, brother. Love you, Chinch.
Love you, buddy.
See you, brother. All right, man.